From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Bloomberg ranks Atlanta as the worst city for income inequality, and we're going to explore the real lives behind those numbers and how everybody is affected. Join us for that conversation on Mondays on Second Thought. Well, we are getting close to high school football championship time, and John Nelson is here. He's waving his arms up in the air. This is how he does it.
I do.
The fields get narrowed down for college bowl games. Finally, Super Bowl 53 right here in Atlanta, Georgia. And to get us in the spirit of the season, we're hearing from Atlanta's famous Frederick Douglass High School band.
Astro fans. And
also, whether you follow the game or the traditions that surround it, John Nelson, he's got the play-by-play. He's host of GPB's podcast Football Fridays in Georgia, and he's game correspondent for GPB TV. Thank you. I guess we've got a Football Friday going on here.
That is accurate. Round two of the playoffs. It is Archer and Parkview, and we have all access pass at 7, kickoff a little after 7:30 on GPB, GPB.org, the GPB football app, which is downloadable. How's that for a promo?
You are good.
Right out of the blocks, you hit the promo.
This is not your first time. Any big stories coming out of the high school playoffs that are enough to make even non-sports fans, perhaps there may be some in the room, stand up and cheer?
Well, I think the little guy, if you want to look at it that way, you had 7 number 4 seeds go through the first round and knock off a bunch of teams, and you had some 3s knock off some 2s, and then you had dominance of some 1s. So if you, depending on how you like to look at things from the bottom up or the top down, you had a lot of upsets in the first round, and you had a lot of the dominant teams put up big numbers as they get ready for the second round.
So what's interesting is so many teams have been successful this year, it literally, you don't know where to put them all. Can you explain that logjam between high school football championships and that other kind of football, F-U-T-B-O-L?
Well, I mean, you're looking at, when you're talking about the success of the high school football here in the South, Jeff Fisher, who does High School Football America, he has a fancy math that he did, and he does it every year. And for the first time ever in the history of his algorithm, he said that high school football in the state of Georgia is 3rd best in the country when it comes to placing players at the college level and things like that. So a lot of success for the state of Georgia as a top 5 when you're looking at placing players. And it's not just in the Southeast anymore. You'll have teams from out West. You'll have universities from out West and the Midwest and Northeast and Southwest. Everybody's coming to Georgia to get the talented players these days. And then, you know, when you're looking at the FUT, obviously you have to look at Atlanta United. I mean, that's one of the big stories there. And there's your synergy and your symmetry, because the championships are at the same place that Atlanta United's filling 72,000 people.
Well, we should mention that you also do play-by-play for Atlanta United's second team.
Yep.
Also co-host the Soccer Down Here podcast. So you're going to have a pretty busy December, right?
Yeah. Well, there is no silly season anymore, because with Atlanta United making it into CONCACAF Champions League, their season starts about, you know, 2 weeks earlier than it normally would. So they would be going to places like Honduras and Trinidad and things like that. And then with the USL, it's been a tremendous, great thing to do. So it's been a lot of fun on a bunch of different levels. And so I'm trying to think of, okay, let's think about this. The championships, if Atlanta United doesn't make MLS Cup, the football high school football championships will be the 7th and the 8th of December. If they do, then Atlanta United plays on December 8th, and the football championships get slid to midweek. The following week is National Signing Day, at least the first 3-day period for that. So that's your first group of your high school football players, FOOT, going to the college ranks. And then after that, you realize, oh, I forgot to buy Christmas gifts. And then you have like 4 days, and the folks who do the overnight shipping and things, they become really important in my life about December 21st.
They're all figuring into this, the scheme that is John Nelson. Well, John, one of the things you're great at doing is what's happening, of course, covering what's on the field, but also in the bleachers.
Yep.
And this is, you pay attention to fans in the bleachers and the bleachers themselves. So why is this part of the story in Northcutt Stadium in Marietta?
Well, with Northcutt, it was really cool because Northcutt is where Marietta High School plays. It's a city stadium in Marietta, and it was created as a WPA project back in the late 1920s. And what they did at the time when they created the stadium was they put a call out to all of the farmers in the area that we need all of your excess stone. And all of the farmers brought their stone to the facility, and that is the old wall that you see at Northcutt Stadium. And it had been covered over and sealed a couple different times over, and they've done some renovations in the last couple of years. But the western wall is still that old WPA project that was created in 1929. And I remember doing a stand-up at one of our games a couple of years ago where I was sitting on top of the wall and no one would help me off after I was done with my stand-up. So I was kind of marooned there for a little while.
That is so Georgia. Instead of a barn raising, it's a stadium raising. Yep. With everyone's leftover stone.
Yep.
Well, you've also toured South Georgia after Hurricane Michael hit. Yep. Saw the damage it left behind. So what role does football play in the story of communities trying to rebuild?
Well, it's a unifier. And what it does is it brings everything back into the community for just a little while. It gives you a bit of an escape. And when you go to places like the town of Colquitt, when you go to a place like Donaldsonville, and you see how everyone in the community is helping each other out, but at the same time, you get that respite and you get that unifier of community that high school football is. I mean, Seminole County, they lost their stadium. They couldn't play there the last couple of weeks of the season, so they were having to find venues and they were having to play games in other places. They didn't even open up the high school or any of the schools in the county until November 5th. So basically, the regular season was over by the time that you had folks able to go back in schools. But, you know, being able to catch up with folks like Wes Williams, the head football coach down there at Seminole County, and everybody down in Southwest Georgia, obviously we're still thinking about him a great deal. But just to see the unifier that it can give you on a Friday night, just to kind of be with everybody else in the community for a couple of hours, I think that's just a real cool thing.
And a tragedy on a very different scale. Yep. In Georgia. The 16-year-old Dylan Thomas. Yeah. Died after being injured in a game in Pike County.
Right.
Football continues to be America's most watched sport, but are parents starting to bench their kids to keep them safe?
I think you're seeing a lot of NFL players who are making that decision these days, and you'll sit there and the NFL players, I think Kurt Warner was one who had decided that he was going to give his kids the choice as to whether or not they were going to play, and then there were other football players who are just like, nah, they're not going to do it because they perceive that the health risk outweighs the idea of playing that particular sport. And I will say this about everybody down in Zebulon at Pike County. They have been one of the great stories of the year, just as when I was down there the week after Dylan passed. And I have to give Miss Terry Patterson a great deal of credit. I called her because her son is one of the senior linemen, one of the senior captains. And I said, I wanted to come down and I wanted to talk to everybody just to kind of see how everybody was doing. She's like, okay, you know, it's our fall break. I'll see what I can do. By the time I had gotten off the phone with her, she calls me a day later. We end up in a room with 16 Pike County moms to do basically a town hall, and you can look at that on our GPB Sports Facebook page. And it was a way for them just to kind of let everybody know how they were doing and how they're working their way forward. And Pike County, by the way, as one of those four seeds we were talking about at the beginning of the segment, they won in overtime last week, knocking off a team on the road. They travel in round two of the playoffs to Savannah to take on Jenkins High, so their great story continues.
Well, and it also speaks to that unifying power of football that you were talking about.
No doubt.
Well, we can't talk about football without noting that Atlanta is going to host the 2019 Super Bowl.
Never heard of it.
Right here in our fancy new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So what are the odds, John, that Atlanta Falcons are going to actually play in the game?
Not good. Right now, they're 4-5 and taking on a Dallas in a must-win game with 2 4-5 teams that are going at it. So I would probably say if you're 8-8, 9-7, then you might get in the playoffs, but it's going to take a big run in the second half of the season for that to happen. Look for the LA Rams to be a big discussion, and former Marist quarterback Sean McVay, head coach.
Okay. Speaking of Georgia teams playing in the big games, what about the Bulldogs? How are they doing this year?
They're doing all right, and they're going to be in the SEC championship game, probably playing and doing as best they can against Alabama again for the second year in a row, considering they lost in the national championship last year. And the biggest question is, can the pride of Bainbridge, Georgia, Kirby Smart, come up with a game plan to knock off his mentor at Alabama, Nick Saban? And I think that's the big question a lot of Dogs fans have.
All right, before we go, we have to ask about Atlanta United.
Sure.
Big run this year.
Yes.
I mean, two seasons, the team has all but taken over Major League Soccer.
Epic.
Set attendance records.
Yep.
Huge playoff run right now. Just got ranked the most financially valuable team in the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
So for people who think kickers are only good for field goals, what might Why might they turn on their TVs in November?
Well, I mean, right now, the home match on the 25th is leg one of the Eastern Conference Final. And what you're able to see is a team who is chasing after a title in their second year of existence. It's a very rare thing. And then leg two is on the 29th up in Harrison, New Jersey, for those that want to make the road trip. But I firmly anticipate that everybody who's a fan of the Five Stripes will be rowdy and proud on the 25th. And you'll have another 70,000 there as well. And I want to see what the support groups do for their TIFO in the end zone on the 25th. I think it's going to be a hoot.
Well, John Nelson, the game clock has run out on this conversation. He is host of GPB's podcast, Football Fridays in Georgia. He's also game correspondent for GPB TV. Thanks so much.
Hoo-ah!